Oh, I'm sorry. We'll pray after for your dad's leg. Sorry. Dear Lord, we want to also pray for Phil's leg, that it gets better. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. We got to include that. Sorry.
Is that why you won paintball?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, he actually told me one more, and then my leg got injured. And I'm like, as the one who won the side. All right.
Before
that, he just lost his left side, and I shot him.
Pay attention real quick. Let's get after it, because we don't have a ton of time. I mean, we have about half an hour, but anyway. So, the last series we talked about, we were preparing ourselves to get back into school, all right? This week is kind of like a lull that we have in between that, because next week we have the Fabulous Fifth, and then I'm going to be gone for a couple weeks after that in Kosovo. And I've been praying about, like, what to do with this week. Like, what does this week look like? I don't want to start, like, a new series. I don't want to necessarily keep going with our back-to-school series. We finished up the Book of Daniel, so I wanted to kind of move on. But for me and for you guys, like, I've been praying about change. Like, school's getting ready to happen for a lot of us. You know, there's lots of new guests at church. We all just have a lot of change getting ready to happen in our life. Or that has already happened. And I just have been praying and praying about, like, what to share with you guys and what to just talk about this week. So we are kind of going to piggyback off of the Back to School series, but we're going to be looking at a different passage. I know for me, especially, like, a lot of things have been happening and changing just in ministry and everything. If you guys haven't noticed, we've had a few guests. Carly's been out here for, you know, coming and sitting for a while. And we got Tucker and Ellie. They're going to start coming in here once a month and hanging out with us, you know, seeing what the youth is all about. He's going to help, I guess. He'll be teaching while I'm in Kosovo. But he'll be just hanging out, getting to know you guys, seeing what the youth ministry is all about, spending some time with getting to know us. You know, a lot of you guys already know him. You guys had him in Mighty Warriors. So today we're going to be talking about change. We're going to look at a passage in 1 Timothy, and we're going to look at 1 Timothy, and we're going to see, you know, how we can deal and navigate change in our life by looking at Paul's, what he's commanding to Timothy. So for you guys, in the last year, like, what are some examples of things that have changed for you? In the last year, just think about, like, things that have changed. Go ahead, Cameron.
Teachers?
New teachers? Friendships? What else? Going to a new school? Sports? Different sports? What else? Got? I mean, all of you should have something, right? Something has changed in your life in the last year. Go ahead.
Friends?
New friend groups? We said friend groups. We said teachers. Your shoe size? So you've grown? All right. So some of those things you guys have control over, right? Some of those things, like, you have control over, and some of those things you have no control over. You cannot help that your feet have gotten bigger. They're unavoidable. Some changes in our life are unavoidable. There are circumstances in our life that are out of our control, like our growth, like our friend moving away, getting new teachers. You can't just move on with your teachers every year. Yeah, they have to change. Getting older, maturing, growing facial hair, unfortunately, like, some things are just unavoidable. The changes that happen in our lives, some of them happen to us, some of them happen because of us, because of actions or things that we do. Some changes are because God is working in our life. You know, he's moving, he's doing things, growing us spiritually, obviously physically. So the one thing that we can all agree on is that change is inevitable. It's going to happen. There's nothing that we can do about it, you know. But how we respond to change, we can do so in two ways. We can let it affect us negatively, allow it to just, like, knock us down and keep us down. Or we can use it to grow us, to build us up, to change maybe a thing in our life, a way we act. You know, maybe if you move on from different friends, it's because your last group of friends wasn't the greatest example for you in your life. Or they did things that you didn't want, or you knew weren't glorifying to God, and you knew that they weren't a good influence, so you wanted to separate yourself from them. So the text we're going to be looking at today is in 1 Timothy chapter 4. But I want to kind of give some context into the book of 1 Timothy, if you guys aren't familiar with it, you know. Timothy, who is it wrote by? Does anybody know?
Timothy?
No. Who wrote the book of Timothy?
Wait, hold up.
Nobody?
Paul,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah.
Well, you know the theme here. Just shout it out. Yes. The Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy. All right. The theme of the book is church order. He's writing on to him on the way like a church should look, the way it should be ran, like the order, like deacons and things like that. It's written he's in the church of Ephesus. Timothy's left with the responsibility of the church of Ephesus. We're going to see that. We can see it right here in chapter 1, verse 3. It says, Paul says, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." So Timothy is left with the responsibility of the church of Ephesus while Paul is away in Macedonia. And he says, "As I besought thee, abide in Ephesus." It's his responsibility to make sure that the people are establishing sound doctrine and not spreading false teachings, that they are conducting the church in a way that would glorify God. All right? And we're going to see in the passage that we're going to be in today that Timothy's young. And Paul is trying to encourage him not to let his youth hinder him, like to allow his life and the way he lives his life to be an example. The change and everything that is going on to him, for him to be an example to the people of Ephesus in his actions and the things that he does. So 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we're just going to read through the end of the chapter. We're going to start in verse 12. I'm just going to read these few verses, okay? Tucker, you would appreciate the Pilcrow there.
Yeah.
And following it back, you know? Yeah. But in verse 12, all right, he's starting like a new thought. He says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them shalt hear thee." Alright. In verse 12, he says, "Let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." How do you be an example? Like, how are you an example? How can you be an example to somebody else? Like, what makes somebody an example? What does it mean to be an example? Go ahead.
When someone looks up to you and starts acting like you.
When someone looks up to you and starts acting like you? Okay. What makes somebody an example? Anybody got anything else? Anybody? No? Alright. Our actions, the way we act, the things that we do, the way we live our life, the way we go about what we do. It's kind of a trick question because Paul kind of explains it right after. Like, believers in the word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. You should be an example in word and in conversation. People should be able to see the way that you converse with others, the way that you talk. You're not cussing, you're different. The way you carry yourself at school, you're not, you know, joining in on making fun of somebody. You're not, being a disruption in class, just the way that you live your life. Like, you should be an example by that. It says in charity, in spirit, in faith, the way that you love others, the attitude you get when, like, times get difficult. Treating people with respect, treating people caringly, not when a situation doesn't go the way that you plan. When, like, if your problem is something that's bothering you, you know, outside of school, and how you carry yourself in those times, in the troubling times, in the trying times. Not being afraid to share Jesus with others, you know, in faith. Ephesus is Timothy's mission field. School, your co-op, wherever you go, that is your mission field. That's where God has put you. So don't allow where you're put to change you. Allow the way and your actions be the change. Allow the way that you interact with the people around you to be the difference. Just because you're young, like he says to Timothy, like we saw this in Daniel, you know, just your age doesn't mean that you can't advance the mission of God. Like you cannot be glorifying to his kingdom. You guys are in middle school, but it's not insignificant. Like you can do something good for God. You can share your faith with others. You can be nice. You can do all the things that he's saying here in conversation and charity and spirit and faith. Like you guys can be an example to the people in your sphere. So in verse 12, he's telling him to be an example. And then he goes into verse 13 and it says, "Till I come, give attendance to the reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine." What do you guys think of when you think of the word attendance? Like, what does that mean to you? Attendance, yeah. What does attendance mean?
Attending.
Yeah, being somewhere, being present. Being where you're supposed to be. Being, like, when you go to school, you're giving attendance. You're in attendance at school. When you come to the youth on Wednesdays and on Sundays, you're in attendance. It's the act of being present. Basically, Paul is telling Timothy here, be present. Like, be there. Be doing the things that you're supposed to be doing. Don't just sit on your couch and hang out and neglect your responsibilities to the people of Ephesus, you know. He says to, till I come, so like till I come back, give attendance to the reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Reading, like make sure that people are in the Word. Like, give attendance to that. Make sure people that are in the Word. My question to you is the same that it is kind of every week, but are you in the Word? If you want to change, if you want the change that's happening in your life, the negative things and the good things, if you want them to affect you in a positive way, you have to be in the Word. You have to be reading your Bible, allowing God help you through, like, whatever it is that God is giving you. Give attendance to exhortation. What does exhortation mean? James Meredith. James, pay attention. What does exhortation mean? Any guesses? Cameron's got one over there. What do you got?
No.
Got nothing. It basically just means they encourage others. Exhort. Like, they encourage others. Having godly friends, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I know. This is what helps us deal with change. In our lives, I know it's like a little bit repetitive. We talked about this in the book of Daniel. Like how surrounding ourselves with godly people, with people that have the same views and beliefs that we have, that represent what we want to represent, are encouraging to us. That's what helps us out. But are we encouraging others? Like in what we believe, are we exhorting or sharing our faith with the people around us, allowing it to change their lives? Paul's commanding Timothy to do these things, to exhort, to do this stuff, to share. He says, give attendance to the doctrine as well. Do you know what your Bible says? Are you reading it and understanding what you're being taught, what you're being shown in your Bible? That's important. Like, if somebody comes up and asks you, why do you believe what you believe? Are you going to be able to confidently either show them in the Bible or tell them why you believe what you believe? You guys interact on a day-to-day basis with all kinds of people. The people you go to school with, like, there's people that believe all kinds of things. There's people that are going to try to get you, like, question what you believe, try to get you to believe what they believe. Getting invited to a different church, like, really not something you should have to think about, but it is something you should think about. Like, when you go there and you attend, it's not that you shouldn't, but, like, what are their beliefs? What are their views? Can you share with that person what you believe or what your views are? Are you prepared to defend your belief if somebody challenged you? Like, all of you in middle school now should be knowledgeable enough in doctrine that you can, you know, be able to share the gospel or testify in what your faith is and what you believe. like, the devil's going to prod. He's going to prod. He's going to try to change your outlook in any way that he can. He'll do so with the people that you surround yourself with. He'll do so with when you're dealing with a problem and you're not in the Word and you're not rightfully, you know, trying to navigate that. The devil will use that to either tear you away from the church, to change your outlook on life. He's going to prod and to pry on you, on your emotions, on the friend groups. He's going to weasel his way in. And Paul is telling Timothy, like, to be an example, to be present, to be in attendance, to be where he's at. So in verse 14, he says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. The neglect not the gift that is in thee. All of us have a gift. God has given all of us a gift. Something that you're good at, an area of your life. Something that we are good at. Some area of your life where you get to be an influence to, like, the people that are around you. Where you get to influence others. All of you have different friends, different groups of people that you associate with. We all don't hang out, I would imagine. You guys don't all just converse together when you're at school, do you? Just hang out in the same mob. All of you guys just are the same. You don't. This is your circle, and, like, there's no other people. All of you, I would imagine, have other people outside of this room that you guys talk to at school, talk to at your co-op, talk to at 4-H, talk to at sports, on Fortnite. All right, you get to be an influence to those people, chat groups and such. But so God has given you a gift. You know, if you're saved, you have a testimony. Paul is telling Timothy not to neglect the gift. The same goes for us. Don't neglect what God has given you. Don't just, if you have an ability at a sport and you're not using it, you're just neglecting it. Like, all the home runs you're going to hit, you know, if you're not practicing on the weekly to hit those home runs, you're never going to hit, you know, that gift might go away. Obviously you're not going to lose your salvation, but you're not going to be as good as you were at it. If you remember when we talked about the parable of the talents, does anybody remember the story? The master gave the parable of the talents. He gave the guys, he gives this guy 10, this guy 5, and this guy 1. And the guy with 10 goes out and multiplies it. The guy with 5 goes out and multiplies it. The guy with 1 buries his. You guys remember that? And what happened to the guy that buried his?
He died.
He lost favor in the sight of his master, right? Then the others saw favor and he gave them more above and beyond what he had given them to be. In the first place, you've been given a gift, so use it. Don't neglect it. Put it to use. That's the only way that your gift is going to grow, that you're going to be able to grow. If we are good at sports and playing an instrument and all of that, put it to practice. How are you going to grow and get better if you're not using it? Not bad. Pages are stuck together. All right, next verse, verse 15. It says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. This is probably one of my favorite from this whole passage. Paul is, like, telling Timothy, man, do these things. Give yourself wholly to them. Like, commit yourself wholly to this, and thy profiting may appear to all. What do you guys, like, to you, what does profiting mean? What does profiting mean to you guys? Go ahead. Taking in? Yeah, like, if you're profiting. Money? You're making more money?
Or making more off of
anything. You're growing. You're gaining, right? You have, like, there's gain. There's advancement. You're growing. You're profiting. So growth or gain. The money that I make when I run my business, if I use that money, if I take that money, I can use that money to grow my business into something more, to keep advancing it, moving on. To profit in something is to gain or to grow. So Paul is saying to Timothy that if you're doing these things, he says, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly into them, and then thy profiting, your gain, your growth. He's young, you know. He probably is self-conscious about the fact that I'm younger than the other people or other people. What do I have to offer them? And Paul's saying, like, let your growth, let the things that God is doing in your life, let your gain be an example to other people. Like, let them see by what you're doing Let them notice how God is using you, how you're changing. And the same goes for us in the world. If we walk the walk, people are going to notice it. If we live our lives like we would, like we're at church every day, people are going to notice that. Last time I taught, I asked you guys, like, what would your friends say if I talked to them? If I asked them, what's Lincoln like at school? Or, like, what are you guys like? What's James? Is James a good kid? You know, Cameron. What is Cameron doing at school? You know, is he a distraction to all the people around him? Is he a light to others? Ethan, is he sending funny photos in class, you know, to people and being a distraction and disrupting those that are sitting by him? Like, if I ask your friends, what would they say about you? If I followed you around on the day-to-day, you know, you didn't know it. I'm just lurking back, hanging around, you know, watching how you live your life, seeing what you're doing when you're at school, or anybody, your parents, and you're not living your life holy, then, you know, you're not profiting from that. You're not gaining. You would obviously act different if you knew that, if you knew somebody was following you around. And looking at you, Paul's telling Timothy to make sure that the church is conducted in a certain way. But he's also telling him that his actions, the way that he carries himself and doing the right thing, it's going to be evident to those around him. The same is said for us. The way we act, the things we do at school, it might seem minuscule to you. It might seem small, like, I'm just not going to talk over the teacher, or I'm not going to do this. Like, those things are, like, little things about your life that you can change, but that can have a big impact. If you walk into school, Cameron, this year, and last year, hypothetically, you just cussed like a sailor, you picked on everybody, you pushed kids into their locker, every time you pass them in their hallway, and this year you walk into school and you're not doing all those things, do you think people are going to notice? I mean, say you talked every day in class, and anytime a teacher said something, you had to make a joke out of it. People are going to notice that. It's a little change, but people will notice. You might not, they might not verbalize it to you, but they will. They're going to notice that you're different. Some of you guys are entering into middle school. First year, right?
Yeah.
First year, sixth grade. First year. Is it your first year in middle school? You weren't? Okay. Some of you guys are getting ready to leave middle school. You have a new adventure on the horizon, all right? This is your last year. You're going to enter into a new chapter. Do you want to be, like, is your goal when this, not your, you're leaving. I'll ask you on the next time. Is your guys' goal to be the exact same when you enter middle school as when you left? Like, do you want to be the same person on day one of your sixth grade year that you are on your last day of your eighth grade year? No. Same for you guys. Can you look back at your first year and be like, do you feel like you're the same person? Like, do you want to be the same person? Change in our lives happens gradually. Like, you don't just wake up one morning and you're instantly 6 foot tall. Like, you hit your growth spurt and it's just like, life is now, this is me now. This is who I am. Go ahead. It happened to you. You just woke up taller one day. I think of the movie Big. Yeah, just wakes up bigger. But change in our life doesn't happen in an instant. You don't just wake up with a full beard, all right? Your hair starts to grow in scruffy and rough, and it's not like you want it to grow, and you have to, like, manicure it. It just takes time for it to get full and luscious, unless you're Dylan. His is just instant. Shaves it, comes back like the guy, it's Santa Claus. I think of the movie Santa Claus. Anyway, it takes time. It says meditate. Paul is saying meditate upon these things. Commit yourself wholly to them and watch what God does. Commit yourself now wholly to what God is doing in your life and then just look what God does. Watch what God does. The last thing that Paul tells Timothy in this passage, he says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Paul tells him to pay attention to yourself, to the doctrine, and continue in them. He says to take heed. Like, that's the first word that he says. It's like, what do you guys think of when you hear take heed?
Communion.
Huh?
Communion? You said take
heed. Take heed.
Oh.
That's the word take heed. Like, I, Like, hey, take heed. Like, there's a flood up ahead. Like, I think of, like, be cautious. Huh? Go ahead. A warning? Yeah, like, or pay attention. Like, pay attention. Like, up ahead, you know, the road's higher. There's a tree in the road. He's telling him. He says, pay attention. Times when we're living our life for Jesus, they can be difficult. We saw this with Daniel. We saw this with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The world tells, was constantly telling them to be a certain way. And they purpose in their heart, like, to be who they were, all right? At times when you're living your life for Jesus, things can get difficult. They can get hard. We can get weary in well-doing. We saw this in Daniel also in chapter 10 when he was when he had the vision and he's like, I'm tired. I have no breath left in my lungs. You know, I can't go on anymore. And the angel lifts him up and he says, just purpose who you purpose to be in the beginning, beforehand. And God hears you. God sees you. Paul is like, man, he's telling Timothy here, things are going to get difficult. But he says, continue on. Keep going. Keep doing the things that you're doing. Continue in the things that you know. See what it does for you and for those around you. Change in our lives doesn't have to be negative. We can allow change in our life to better us, to help us to grow, to help us change the people that are around us, the things that, like, our life circumstances, our life situations, we can use to profit. Like, walk in the walk. Be in the way at church or at school the way we are at church, you know. We're all going to experience change. We all agreed in the beginning that that's inevitable. Like, there's nothing that we can do. We're all going to grow. Life circumstances aren't going to be the same today that they are tomorrow. But we have to be an example. Paul is telling Timothy, be an example. We got to give attendance to the things that we know we should be doing, reading our Bible, sharing our love of Jesus with others, knowing what our Bible says, knowing what you're reading. Like, it's one thing just to read it, but knowing it, understanding it, take time to meditate on that. If you're saved, you have a gift. Like, don't neglect that gift. Use your gift. And know that there's going to be ups and downs in life. Like we said, change is inevitable. So allow us to continue in what we know and be an example to others. Turn with me to Hebrews 13. This is just the last verse that I'm going to leave you guys with. And as also, today is the last day for our memory verse. I know we've had some mixed-upness in class, but yeah, this is going to be our memory verse for the next month. Hebrews 13. Verse 8, this is just what I want to leave you guys with, okay? You guys there? Raise your hand when you're there. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Are you there? You there? Cameron, where's your Bible, bro? Huh? There wasn't more. I would have found you a Bible. All right, Hebrews 13, verse 8. Who wants to read it for me? Go ahead, Adam. Oh. Adam. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Yeah, go ahead, read it out loud. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Rest in the one constant. Allow that to be an example to those around you. Allow Jesus to be your example, you know, the way you live your life. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do what? Say what today? The memory? This verse? No, no. You guys can meditate on that. Come back with me next time. It's actually going to be a couple weeks. That's your memory verse for next month. Okay, yeah, I'll write it up there. All right. Well, who wants to pray us out? Levi, want to pray us out?
Yeah, Nick.
Yeah, you do. Cameron, you do? Yeah, use your hand. Levi, go ahead. You can do it, bud. Pray us out. You got it.
Lord, I pray that Ryan,
has a good sermon today.